My name is Dimitri Gelfand.
And I'm Evelina Domnic.
We will be speaking about Camera Lucida, Sano Chemical Observatory. This is a sensory immersion environment that allows observers to experience sound in three dimensions. This is accomplished by means of a phenomenon known as sonoluminescence, which has to do with high-frequency sound waves moving through a gas-infused liquid, causing microbubbles of gas to collapse, to implode. When this takes place, the small amount of gas becomes so dense during this moment of collapse that very, very high temperatures are reached, perhaps as high as 10,000 degrees Celsius. Other scientists believe even higher. The reason that it is impossible to fully explain this phenomenon is because of the fact that these bubble implosions occur so very quickly. In fact, when the maximum heat is unleashed inside of the bubble, light is emitted, and this light only lasts much less than a billionth of a second. So there's really no means of understanding what exactly is going on during this brief period of microtime, or should we say nanotime to be more exact. However, these flashes of light repeat per sound cycle. In our case, that's around 40,000 times a second. And each of these flashes is not interpreted as intervals by the human eye. We rather see it as a more or less continuous light which takes the shape of the sound waves that cause these emissions.
Also, this work gives you a chance to look into the chasm, what we know as space, this really mysterious thing that is space or space-time, as it is referred in contemporary science. But in fact, the work of art usually concentrates on the object that we can perceive. So you can hear a sound and you're mostly interested in the musician that makes the sound, or your ear or your own consciousness that perceives the sound. But in between the musician and your ear, there is this chasm where the sound waves are moving and their behavior is very interesting, so we wanted to visualize that. So when you look at Camera Lucida, you're looking at this chasm and peeking into what interesting things are taking place there.
All sound waves are composed of areas that have high density and low density. They compress and rarefy the medium through which they're moving.
And the propagation of sound occurs by, you know, these areas of low and high density alternating, sort of like a spring action.
These areas of low pressure are considered to be semi-vacuums. These are pockets of empty space. And when these empty spaces are moving inside of a gas-infused liquid, if the frequency of the sound is high enough, these pockets can actually fit inside of the microbubbles. And as soon as this vacuum, as soon as this little void finds itself inside of the bubble skin, there's a tremendous difference in pressure between the surrounding liquid and the emptiness inside. It's at that moment that the bubble ferociously collapses under the the pressure of the surrounding liquid at over 10 times the speed of sound.
Also, there is this phenomenon that maybe more people are familiar with, which is cavitation, and that happens to divers when they go very deep underwater, and it's because of the changes in pressure. It also was discovered when people started building very powerful engines for the ships and boats. So the power of cavitation, which is actually these tiny little bubbles of air in water, is so strong that it destroys the strongest metal. And all this power comes from difference in density. Sort of, you know, power coming out of nothing, but it comes from this difference because water is very dense and air is not so dense. And when this air is rarefied and becomes almost near vacuum, the difference becomes tremendous. So the water around the skin of the bubbles start collapsing so fast and with a very high pressure. And it heats up the air inside of the bubble to a temperature of a plasma, and 5,000 Kelvin, the temperature of the surface of the sun. And all this energy, in the case of solar luminescence, is released as light, because the water doesn't heat up at all, not even by a single degree, which is still not explained why this happens.
Yeah, the scientists still don't know, once again, as we had mentioned before, what exactly is happening inside of the bubble while it is imploding, because it is just much too fast. It's 10 to the minus 13th of a second, much less than a billionth of a second.
But yeah, this is sort of only the beginning, because this is a scientific part, but we are also interested with synchronizing the brain with this kind of information and perception, because we and the scientists are not interested in that. So when you observe something like solar luminescence, it kind of restructures your understanding of space-time, of objects, of matter. And this kind of synchronization is very important, because now we are aware that the space around us is not empty. It's saturated with information, with waves, and we have to become more aware of it. It's unavoidable. But interesting enough, these bubble formations that creates in the water, the scientists call them dendrites, making an analogy with the dendrites structures in the brain. So morphologically, these bubble clusters are very similar to brain cells. So it's an interesting coincidence, another point of synchronization.
Most of the light that one observes in the installation is in the ultraviolet range. We're actually just getting some leakage into the visible spectrum, but even in order to see that, the observer has to adapt to the darkness and kind of extend their visual capacities to see something that ordinarily should not be seen within the human visual spectrum. Our installation is very, very resonates quite well with the other works, as well as with the concept of the show. It seems that all of the pieces are concerned not only with the immaterial aspects of space in terms of light and the way that light is perceived, but also with light as something that is metaphysical, something that that stretches beyond just the senses, something that perhaps tells of other dimensions, of other organs of perception.
And the Camera Lucida is a very specific work in the sense that it requires total sensory immersion and creates this kind of environment and experience for the viewer. I mean, it's not so much a conceptual piece. It's more an experiential piece. And we are not trying to convey any idea or state any idea or ideology. We just want to create this environment where every single person will have a most unpredictable and strange experience, because really what you've seen, you have never seen before, and you have never experienced light in such a way, because usually you don't even experience light. You are not so, you're based in it. You see other objects illuminated by it. Here you are in total darkness and you see light in form of these dendrites, like brain cells. So you see shapes made out of light. And I think that the work of Anthony McCall is also a similar sensory immersion work as the work with the disco balls. It creates this incredible sensory illusion where all of a sudden you see the space around you moving and all the objects, especially when the piece was installed and these huge ladders were standing there and we walked in and we saw these ladders moving on us. It almost makes you scared. So I think that, yeah, there are a certain a resonance with works in the show, but at the same time, I hope it has its own place in this wonderful exhibition.